today as we come to the table.
You will rejoice, and it leads to eternal life. This is the hope that we have. Difference in corruption is eternal life in Jesus Christ by repenting of that and then planting those good seeds in and then getting that fruit coming from that. And he says there, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. What an encouraging verse. You ever felt like you're making all these efforts and it's to no avail? This is a very, very encouraging verse, because what Paul is saying is, if you make the effort to do the right things in the Lord, you will have the reward of that. Now, it may not come right away. As a matter of fact, it rarely does.
As Christians, we often try to do the right things because we're morally sound people. We aspire to be like Jesus, and Jesus did and does good things. Sometimes those good things can seem useless, though, because we don't see them bearing fruit right away. But it's not the act of doing good, it's the heart behind it. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will encourage you to not give up when you don't see results right away. Even just the thought and effort of wanting to do good deeds is enough for God. We don't need to be perfect and succeed every time, because Jesus is the one who is perfect and the one who wins all battles. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Galatians chapter 6 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Galatians chapter 6, as we're going to be looking at verses 6 all the way to the end through 18. But let's go ahead and read the first few verses, kind of lay that groundwork. Again, Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 18. We'll look at verse 6 through 10 here to read that together before we pray. Notice what Paul says. He says, "Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will reap. For he who sows to his flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." As I said, we finished the book of Galatians today, quite a journey through the book of Galatians. Again, I think that we all get the main theme of it and have it driven in our heart over and over and over, and that is, it's not by the law, but it's by grace, it's by faith. And so Paul's going to carry that theme on today, but he's going to break this section up, this last portion here, really into two different sections, and that is sowing seeds and pulling weeds. And we're going to see in verses 6 through 10, sowing of the seeds. We'll see in verses 11 through 18, pulling weeds and his final goodbyes. And again, if you're going to have a good garden, you've got to do both. You've got to plant good seeds, but you've also got to pull the weeds. And Paul, again, is going to make reference to getting rid of those that are teaching the law and trying to get you to go down the direction of legalism as the weeds that need to be removed. And so he'll deal with that in that last portion of it. But for most of us, when it comes to a farmer planting, it's common knowledge. We know how it works. You plant the seed, you plant the corn, and the corn comes up. But oftentimes, I think we as believers, we don't really think about this when it comes to the spiritual realm. But what Paul is going to show us today is the same principle is true in the spirit realm. By the way, I've noticed this, and take note of this. God has created this world really as a mirror of spiritual truths. And everything you look at in this world down here, if you look at most every application, I can't think of one that I've never found that didn't apply. But when you look at applications down here, there's almost always, if not always, a spiritual truth to what's going on in heaven. And this is another example of that. That is, even as we plant seeds down here and whatever we plant is what we bring in as a crop, the same thing is true in the spirit realm. Whatever you plant, you're going to bring in as a crop. If you're planting bad seeds, you're going to bring in a bad result. If you're planting good seeds, you're going to bring in a good result. And I think we don't oftentimes think about that as believers in what we're planting. But I want to encourage us today as we get into this and as we meditate on this and as you think about it today, examine yourself. What am I planting during the day, during the week, during the month, during the year? And you'll see oftentimes why you're in the situation you're in, whether it be good or be bad. Again, I know sometimes we just live in a rough world. We live in a fallen world. Bad things happen. I'm not saying that just because you're in a tough season right now that you've been planting bad seeds. But I am saying this. There is a principle here that depending on what you plant in your life spiritually is what's going to be the result and what's going to grow. And so it's up to you as to what that is. God is going to bless it and God will use it, but we have to do our part with the Lord, and that is planting the good seeds. And really learning that what you sow is what you reap is a valuable lesson. I was reading an old publication of the Boys World this week. There was an article in it that said this: during the years of prohibition in America, that is where they stopped all the drinking, they made alcohol illegal, a millionaire was engaged in bootlegging, thinking it was an easy way to increase his wealth under the current circumstances. No one could get any alcohol anywhere. He would invest in ways to do it black market and get rich. However, he soon learned that what the Bible says is true and that whatever a man sows, that he will reap. For he was obviously caught and arrested and got a long prison term. And while he was serving this long prison term, a friend visited him in prison that he said when he walked in the cell, he found him working, but he was sitting cross-legged on the ground with a big needle and a ball of twine sewing burlap bags. Here was this millionaire that had more money than most people will ever have, now reduced to sitting in a cell and sewing burlap bags. And the friend, being so taken aback and shocked by his situation of his former millionaire friend and the life that he had, he didn't really know what to say. And so he just kind of made this quick remark and said, "Sewing, eh?" And looking up with an ill-natured smile, the man replied, "No, I'm reaping." What a picture that is. Because the reality is he had learned, you know what? I made a bad choice. And the choices we make will produce a result in our life. And I would encourage you, because some of you, you've got bad results in your life right now, and you're, even as I'm saying this, you're going, you know what? That's exactly what I've done. The very thing I'm experiencing now, I planted this. I want to encourage you. Yes, that is a warning for us not to do. But what Paul's going to show us today, and this would be the encouragement I want you to leave on an encouraged note, if you plant new seed and if you plant good seed, even as the bad seed took root and grew, the new seed will take root and grow as well. And so you can produce a godly crop in what you're doing. And I think exactly what this man learned is sadly what even many Christians learn after it's too late, and that is they've sown seeds of destruction and now they're paying the consequences. So we have to be very careful and pay very close attention to what we're sowing, because at some point that will be what we're growing. There's also that process of rooting things out today. And so hopefully God will convict you maybe not only of what you're sowing and growing, but God will also convict you of what you're needing to weed, if you will. And that's where we jump in today here in chapter 6, verse 6. Notice Paul starts out here. He says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches." Now, this seems like kind of an odd verse. It's almost like a verse right in the middle of all this stuff he's talking about that has to do with the pastor now or the leadership of the church. It might be there was a situation going on in Galatia. Maybe they weren't properly taking care of their pastor. Maybe Paul was using this as an example of, you know what, if you're going to be sowing into things of the Spirit, make sure that you don't forget your church, so to speak, because if you're sowing into the world, you're going to reap the things of the world. Make sure you're sowing into the things of the Spirit. I've often heard you can tell by someone's checkbook by where they're sowing their seed, so to speak. And again, we're not getting into a health and wealth doctrine thing, but there is a reality is where we put our investments, whether it be financially or whether it be emotionally or whether it be psychologically or time-wise, whatever it might be, there's going to be a result of that. And there may have been some issue going on here in Galatians where Paul was saying, "Hey guys, you need to take care of your pastor." But again, he does use it as a springboard to go into sowing seed, which again has this sense of sowing spiritual seed into the leadership. And again, although it's kind of an awkward verse for a pastor to teach, and I won't take too much time on it, basically what Paul is saying is make sure that your church leadership is taken care of. Now, that's an easy thing for me to teach and not feel awkward, because you guys do take very good care of us. I know that Pastor Jason, Pastor Travis, and myself would say that, not only in taking care of our physical needs and what we need to be able to do the job we're called to do for the Lord, but your encouragement in the Lord, the way you guys pray for us and the spiritual side of things, which is the most important of all. But Paul reminds them, take care of those that are teaching you God's word. And here's the reasoning behind this, which is really true for all of us. It's for our own good. When someone is feeding us the word of God, then what happens is we get blessed by that. Seeds get planted. And that blessing is saying, look, when you begin to bring in the harvest of those that have planted the word in your life and planted seed in your life, share with them that harvest. Give back, if you will, in some form and fashion. And so God wants us, I guess, to sum it up, to share in the blessings of those who teach us, because many of the blessings that we have are a result of those who teach us. I think of all the teachers that have been in my life, and I do a lot of audio studies. I do studies through reading, which is always a blessing, and the commentaries, and I do audio studies as well, and I think about these pastors that have poured into my life and the reward they're going to have and the results they're going to have, and even just occasionally when you hear these guys on the radio or when something's happening, to pray for them, to say, Lord, bless them, bless their ministry, bless their family, bless their life. This is what Paul is saying, is don't forget those who are being faithful to give you the word of God, but again, as a planting principle, he uses that to springboard now into the further things of sowing the seed. Look at verse 7. He says, do not be deceived. And whenever you see the line, do not be deceived in Scripture, let that sink into your heart. Because every time the Holy Spirit says, do not be deceived, it's because many people are. It's interesting. I find this phrase different places throughout the Bible in the New Testament. And every time you do, there's always something very important that follows right afterwards. And the reason being is because it's almost like this double emphasis. We're saying, make sure you know this. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Hold on to this. Grab on to this. Make this yours. Don't miss this, might be another way to say it. Do not be diseased. I'm talking to you guys. I don't want you to be diseased either. I'll have my mouth working in just a moment. No, don't be diseased or don't be deceived, either one. But do not be deceived. Note this. Here's the important line. God is not mocked. That's huge. In other words, you can't pull the wool over God's eyes. God knows everything. God sees everything. God records everything. And God will hold everyone accountable for everything that happens in their life. Now, as a believer, you're not held accountable for your sin. You're forgiven. But he's talking about in the context here, even as a believer, we're going to be held accountable for what we plant. And if we plant bad things as a believer, it's not that God's punishing us. That's just what's going to grow. It's a principle, physically and spiritually, that God has put into place. So don't be deceived in thinking it won't happen, and don't let anyone deceive you into thinking you can get away with something. He says, for whatever a man sows or plants, that he will also reap or harvest when the time comes. So a very powerful verse. And again, the warning here that God is not mocked, and again, that's why the emphasis on not being deceived about this, because he's saying God is not mocked, and God will, you can't ignore God on this. You can't. Again, something that we need not be deceived about is that whatever we plant, if it's good seeds, it'll be good fruit in our life. If it's bad seeds, it'll be bad fruit in our life. And the meaning here, the literal meaning, draws this out even more because it gives a sense of having pride about the fact that you can do what you want and there'll be no effect in your life. Literally what the word means is to turn up the nose in mockery or contempt. And to turn up the nose, that's always a picture of pride. You see people that have pride. Not everybody that has pride holds their head in the air. But you ever seen some people that's it's so obvious? It's like, man, you better watch out if a rainstorm comes. You're going to drown, you know? And so they hold their head up so high. There's this pride thing. It's this sense of I'm better than you. I'm above you, you know, and this kind of thing. He says, if you treat this in such a way where you think that you can do what you want and God's not going to hold you accountable, believer or unbeliever, you are greatly deceived. Therefore, do not be deceived. So it's a great warning. I'm not moved by your foolish belief in the Bible and your warnings, really. Well, you can be that way, but you can't escape it. There's going to be a result. You know, it's interesting. I used to use the example, 2 + 2 = 4. You can't change that. The facts are the facts, and here's what the Bible says. And whether you believe the truth or not, the truth is going to stand all the way to the end. And while that is true, believe it or not, you may have heard just recently, there are certain segments of the educational community trying to say that we no longer need to teach our kids that 2 + 2 = 4 because it's too restricting. And we need to now let them branch out and say, well, what does 2 + 2 mean to you, honey? Listen, you can teach your kids that they can decide that even numbers are relative, but the reality is the facts are the facts and the truth is the truth. And if you try to take a shot to the moon or to the Mars and your math is off because you think it's something a little different, you're not going to end up on either. And then you're going to wish you knew the facts because reality is going to kick in. And what Paul is saying is you can believe whatever you want down here. You can listen to the culture. You can listen to society. You can make up your own opinion and your own mind. It makes no difference. The truth will never move, and it will never change. And so he's saying, don't be deceived in thinking this. There's going to be a day we stand before God, and there's going to be a day we give account based on what God's word says. Well, I don't believe that God, this is God's word. I think man wrote it. I don't believe it in this way. It doesn't change the truth. You can't stand before God on judgment and judgment day and say, you know what, Lord, I just didn't really believe this was your word. I thought man wrote it. He'd say, no, I wrote this, and I gave many evidences that it was me. I showed its supernaturalness over and over. Not to mention prophetic, which we're going to cover here in a couple weeks, things that only God could have known. God has verified and put his stamp of truth and approval on his word, and we're going to be held one day accountable for that. And so you can see Paul's emphasis. This is why he drives this home by the Spirit's leading, not to be deceived, because again, this is something that's going to be, it's going to bring a result one way or the other, and it's going to bring a harvest against some good, some bad, depending on what we're planting. Sir Robert Watson Watt, and you'll, listen, this would be a guy that you'll be glad to hear he got in trouble when you hear what he did. He's the inventor of the radar. You know the ones that sit down here in the 40 and 45 zone and they watch you go by? This guy invented that, okay? But now you're going to get a little bit of satisfaction because Sir Robert Watson Watt, the inventor of the radar, was arrested himself one day for speeding. And of all things, he found that he had been caught in a radar trap. Shortly after this irony, he wrote this poem. Pity Sir Robert Watson Watt, strange target of his radar plot. And this, with others I could mention, a victim of his own invention, right? As Paul says here, whatever we sow, that's what we're going to reap. Don't be deceived. You can't get around the system, but nobody knows I'm doing it. Really? Let me just say this. First of all, God knows everything we're doing, everything. But God has set this up as a principle. It is a truth in the universe, which means this. Even if there was some way that God couldn't see what you were doing, and there's not because he's everywhere, whatever you sow is still going to grow. It's just a spiritual principle that will never change. It's reality, and that's what Paul's driving home to them. So be aware of it. He says in verse 8 here, he says, for he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Again, look at the contrast here. One's going to be really bad. One's going to be really good. Interesting, again, corruption here literally means putrid decay. It gives a picture of a dead body just decaying. You know, you have the body farm over here. You know, and I've never been to it, but I remember we did the FBI Academy one time a few years back, the Citizens Academy or whatever, and got asked to do that. That was a blessing to be a part of that, to see how these things work and all that. But one of the videos they showed us in there was, is they have to learn how a body decays so they can tell how long someone's been dead, right? Depending on the atmosphere, and that's why they do all these experiments. And why, while it may sound gross, and it is pretty gross, it's actually used in many different ways. He's talking here about a body that's decaying. The way that it smells, the way that it looks, he's saying this is what the word corruption means. If you plant seeds of that stinky life, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have a stinky life, and you're going to dwindle away. Your body's going to waste away. You know, the scripture says, don't give your years to the cruel one. That verse has always haunted me, and I'll tell you why. I didn't come to Christ till I was 25. I gave a lot of years to the cruel one. And the problem is when you give your years, your youth, to the cruel ones, talking about living in sin and letting Satan run your life, he drains your body of life. And it's not just, oh, I'm tired because it happened then. No, it actually will affect you the rest of your life. And I think it takes away part of the vitality. I don't think that I have the vitality that I would have had had I not let Satan drain away some of those years. I don't think I think I would have more strength. I think I would have more of everything. And yet we let this decay take place because that's what happens when we plant these seeds of corruption. We decay away. And if we don't repent of it, we'll eventually decay away before our time even, and then stand before God having to deal with that decay. But again, the contrast here is exactly the opposite result. If you plant seeds of the Spirit rather than putrid decay, you have joyous array. The bottom line is you can rejoice, and you will rejoice, and it leads to eternal life. This is the hope that we have. Difference in corruption is eternal life in Jesus Christ by repenting of that and then planting those good seeds in and then getting that fruit coming from that. And he says there, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. What an encouraging verse. You ever felt like you're making all these efforts and it's to no avail? This is a very, very encouraging verse because what Paul is saying is, if you make the effort to do the right things in the Lord, you will have the reward of that. Now, it may not come right away. As a matter of fact, it rarely does. Typically, you'll see an immediate change in a lot of things because you're not doing those bad things anymore. For example, the hangovers will stop immediately if you stop getting drunk. There's a good example of that. But the reality is, it's going to take you years to rebuild a reputation. And it's going to take you years to be able to get insurance again. It's going to take you years to be able to think clearly, maybe not to think clearly for years, but you get my point, to rebuild your life. It takes a while, depending on what sin you come out of, and to have those good results. But Paul encourages them, don't get tired of doing these good things in the name of the Lord as you're sowing this seed, if you're not seeing the results you want, because again, it comes with a promise of God, and that is if we don't lose heart. If we don't get tired of doing good in the name of the Lord, we will eventually reap the results of that. Somebody shared with me, they said, you know, God has me, he moves me in these directions, do all these things, and because I don't see the immediate results, I get discouraged and I quit, and I hate it. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be faithful. I want to learn perseverance. I want to carry on. So we prayed for perseverance so this person could continue on and grow in this area as they bore their heart in honesty. And the reality is that what he's saying is here is that if we will persevere, but I've been talking nice to my husband for a long time, and he still is harsh with me. He still is cruel to me. He doesn't show love to me, ladies. Don't give up. What you plant will grow. It may not be exactly what you want or in the timing you want, but God will bring a harvest. Well, my wife, she doesn't this or fill in the blank. Plant the seeds. Spend the time. Your kids, look at my kids or whatever. Look. I've found that if you offend a family member, if you estrange a child or maybe a friend or whatever, it may take years to restore that relationship. But if you are faithful to build bridges, if you're faithful to plant and sow seed into that relationship, God will begin to rebuild it and God will begin to do it. It's just don't lose heart. Stay in there. Don't be discouraged. There's going to be a result. And by the way, even if you don't see the result like you want down here, there's going to be a result in heaven. We've all heard the terminology, you can't take it with you, but the Bible teaches you can send it on ahead. That's the reality. You can do things right now and send them on up into the kingdom. And so again, what he's saying is here is don't be discouraged if you don't get the immediate results. At some point, you will see them. It may take a while for the seed to germinate and then for the seed to take root and then to grow upward and produce fruit. You know, again, I was sharing with you guys, planted some new grass on our yard. Again, the timing of it, it's supposed to be the perfect time of year and this cold front comes and killed everything. But still, I remember the first few days, I knew it was only 2 or 3 days, maybe a couple days. I was walking out there to look. I'm like, come on, you've had 2 days to think about this, right? Nothing. And again, because of the cold weather, basically nothing ever came up. But the reality is we get impatient. We have to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. I'm going to invest this, I'm going to plant this, and I'm going to wait. And in time, there's going to be fruit. This is what he says. So remember this, if you find yourself, because it works both ways. And if you find yourself in a mess today for all the things you've been planting over the last few years, it's going to take a while to turn that around. You're not going to see it change overnight. It's going to take a while. You didn't get there overnight, and you won't get out of it overnight. But don't lose heart. Stay focused, plant new and good seed, and be patient. There will be a harvest. Our society itself is not very patient, so that makes it even harder. But we have to hang in there and just wait. God will be faithful to his word. He said it. He's going to do it. And notice there in verse 10, he says, therefore, again, because of this promise, because God's going to do this, because if you plant good seeds, you'll grow a good crop. Because of that, therefore, here's what we're supposed to do. Look at this, clear instruction. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Notice he says, as we have opportunity, first of all, as God gives us opportunity to do good for others, take that opportunity. Again, if you have an opportunity to love on your family or make a compliment or to maybe do something for someone in their life and you know God's given you that opportunity, then take that opportunity.
And just like that, another episode of Come to the Table is ending. But you don't have to wait until next time to listen to more great Bible stories. You can access this series plus much more at thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say about this subject and so much more. The book of Galatians has so many practical applications to daily life inside and outside the church today. When you hear your pastor talking about legalism, he's teaching from this text. When there's a political unbalance between church and state, the Church of Galatia is the biblical foothold for how God's church should conduct itself under such pressure. Never let it be said that the lessons in the Bible don't apply to the modern day. They are as real now as they were then. Do you live in the Knoxville area? If so, we invite you to join Pastor Mark and our church family at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community and through this radio outreach. There's always a seat for you. Sunday mornings at 9:30 or 11:15, Saturday night at 6, or Wednesday night at 7. Can't make it in person? No worries. You can join us online. We stream our services through the Way Media app that you can download from your app store or right from thewaymedia.net. You can scroll to the bottom of thewaymedia.net for a link to our church info too. Pastor Mark has much more to share from the book of Galatians, so we hope you can join us next time on Come to the Table.
Come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.